asked all the time whether or not doing this particular job is good for your career. And all I can tell you is, whatever it is, whether it's because it's a good role to play or whether it's for the money, as long as you know why, then you're not going to have a problem.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast, insights for actors on acting in the business of show. Casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach takes you behind the scenes and reveals secrets to a successful acting career. You can find out more on the web at castingactorscast.com. Please enjoy, like, and share Casting Actors Cast. Now, here's your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach, casting director with McCorkle Casting in New York, and this is called Casting Actors Cast, the podcast for actors from a casting director. We're going to give you some insights and some information and maybe have a good time doing it in this episode of Casting Actors Cast. How are you? I hope you're having a really good day today. I'm having a good day, although I have to say the weather in New York has been just... Oh, that was my sound effect for miserable. It's been really, really crappy outside, raining all day long and really, really unseasonably cold. And it's a Monday and people are just kind of walking around just a little bit pissed off. You know how that is? It's just crazy. But I am so happy to be here with you today. Today's episode, we are calling... Tour guide. We're calling tour guide. And I bet you're wondering what that is. I'm going to explain everything about that in just a second, but this is that moment in the podcast where I want to thank you so very much for tuning in to Casting Actors Cast. I had no idea that little over a year ago, I would be sitting here looking at over 10,000 downloads of Casting Actors Cast. I am so grateful that people are tuning in on a regular basis. And if you're new to Casting Actors Cast, welcome. So cool that you're here. And if you've been a longtime listener, I'm going to ask a favor. And the favor is, please try to get two or three of your friends to listen to Casting Actors Cast. I think this is a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of valuable information. And it would help me big time if you said, hey, you know what? I listened to this podcast. And this weird guy named Jeff is doing this Casting Actors Cast podcast. So the last promotional thing I want to talk to you about is that if you go to the website, castingactorscast.com, it's all one word, castingactorscast.com, there's a place where you can fill out an information form, just sort of a contact form kind of thing, and submit that to me. I get the information about you. By the way, that information is kept by me. I don't do anything with it. I don't sell your information. I just like knowing that people are out there listening. But if you do that, you're going to have access to a free, yes, I did say free, downloadable 100-page PDF book. And the book is called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the Voiceover Workshop for Professional Actors. And if you go ahead and download that book, it is absolutely yours for free. I love the book because it's really based on a series of workshops that I've done over the years at a few colleges and universities on voiceover work. So if you're an actor, this is definitely the book for you, and I'm giving it to you absolutely free just for being a listener. So what more could I, you know, give you? Seriously, I'm giving you the shirt off my back and my book. So there you are, castingactorscast.com. Thank you so much. Today's podcast... Tour guide, I'm going to tell you everything there is to know, or at least everything I know, about what it is to be an actor on tour. So we're talking about national tours of shows. We're talking about tours of small productions. We're talking about bus and truck. We're talking about cruise ships. We're talking about all kinds of opportunities that actors seem to be taking advantage of. We're going to give you the good, the bad, and the ugly as far as tours go in this particular podcast of Casting Actors Cast. I want to do a special shout out right from the very top of the podcast to Mickey Nagy of the Krasny office, an agency in New York, as well as Paul Hart, a really wonderful casting director whom I've known for a very long time, who provided a lot of information you're going to hear today. The first thing, though, I want to jump off with is telling you a quick little story about my own personal experience. I was an actor for 20 years before I became a casting director, and I was so excited to be cast in the national tour of Grease, the musical. And I was cast in the role of Eugene in Grease. And at that time, the star of Grease, playing Danny Zuko, was a soap opera actor. You might be a little too young to remember soap operas that were once the rage. And there was a soap opera called General Hospital. And our Danny Zuko was Jack Wagner. And he was the big star of the show. And when I got hired to do this national tour, I was all excited because they said, we need you to pack for cold weather climate. And we also need you to pack for tropical weather as well. It's a 6-month contract. All of the dates and all the locations for this tour have not been completely solidified. So we want you to be ready to go to various places. And this was considered a first-class tour. It was an equity tour. I was really excited because the money was really, really excellent. Off we go onto a huge bus. And the next thing you know, we're in Washington, D.C. after our rehearsal in New York. And I believe that the producers were hoping that the reviews for the show in Washington would help the rest of the tour. In other words, if the great reviews would go on to help solidify other cities like Atlanta and Chicago and Los Angeles, blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of an exciting time. We opened the show to screaming girls. And the reviews came out the next day, and the major review in the major newspaper said, and I quote, "Not even soap can clean up this grease." Oh my God. It was like the worst review ever. It was really, they just didn't like the fact that we took a lot of liberties with this kind of fun musical from about the 50s, because apparently nobody in the 50s did some of the things that we were doing on stage. We got our closing notice. We lasted for 4 weeks in Washington, D.C., and closed out of town. Now, the problem was, of course, I had subletted my apartment. And so that meant I had to come back to New York with my tail between my legs, and I had to crash on some sofas for a while until I could get my own apartment back. It was a disaster. But the 4 weeks of money, you know, that was good. But apparently, you know, a review can make or break even a tour of a show. But let's talk about national tours as I'm thinking and reflecting back about those fantastic days of Grease. But national tours in and of themselves can be quite lucrative. As an actor, it's really kind of amazing that you can go out of town and you can do rather well. You can make anywhere from a base salary of $1,200 to $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, and even more $1,000 a week, depending upon, of course, the role and depending upon whether it's a first-class national tour or something else. Suffice it to say that a lot of tours can be divided up into different categories. One, of course, is what they call the national tour. And for example, when a Broadway show has is successful, then that's what they do. They'll put together a first-class company to go and tour some of the larger theaters. For example, I believe right now, it looks like, as I'm looking at the statistics right here, there are 5 national tours of Hamilton. So 5 tours of Hamilton going on right now all throughout the country. And I'm sure the European Asian tour is like in the near future, if it isn't done already. National tours can be a lot of fun. Now, there are some downsides to doing national tours. Number one is you literally put your career on hold when you go out of town for that length of time. Now, depending upon the contract, you might sign a 6-month or even a year contract, and you're obligated to that show, and you're out. In other words, your ability to leave the show sometimes is upwards of 4 to 6 weeks. In other words, if you want to leave the show, you have to give at least a 4 to 6 week notice sometimes on a first-class national tour. Now, like I said, the money is great. Also, there's a per diem, which means you get some money to for your living expenses, for example, food. Housing is sometimes, but not always, provided. They give you hotels and things like that, but it might come out of your pay or it might be provided you. So a first-class national tour, you're very, very well taken care of. But like I said, the downside can be you put your career on hold. You're really not available for other projects taking place in the city, and that can really be a challenge for some actors who are looking to do more film and television, for example. It's really, really difficult to do that when you're in a first-class national tour of a show. The second thing is that it can be very challenging on the road. Some people love living out of a suitcase. You know, some people love the idea of being in a new town, exploring new places, enjoying what those new places have to offer. Really, if you enjoy travel and if that's part of what you want to be an actor for, then by all means, that might be a wonderful addition to your resume. Doing a really good role in a national tour is considered quite highly as far as the rest of the industry is concerned. If you're doing a musical or a straight play, having a nice role or a notable role, whether it's a musical or a straight play, can really be helpful to your career. But you have to balance that off with whether or not 9 to 12 months out of town is really worth it for your career. So that's something that you need to think about. Also, your agent may be delighted because you'll be making a lot of money on the road and they'll be making money, but not having you around means that they have to sacrifice having you come in for auditioning in New York if you're out of town on a national tour and not available. If you can perfect doing submissions and auditions while on the road with your self-taping system, whatever that might be. By the way, I would really encourage you to listen to the self-tape podcast that I do. It's really important information that I think you'll find really valuable. If you can do that and you commit to staying in touch with what's going on in the city, with projects that are happening and taking place, and have a regularly scheduled conversation with your agent about opportunities that may be coming in, then you're not going to feel as isolated or alone or restricted as you might. I guess what I'm saying is a lot of actors, and this has been from my own personal experience, a lot of actors will do these tours and they have the ambitions of wanting to stay in touch and wanting to do all of these things for their career, but end up sort of more isolated. I'm feeling like the show is enough hard work and it just becomes about doing the show. And that can get really, really frustrating sometimes. Now, other opportunities for touring are what I call, or what we still call, I guess we call, the bus and truck. And that is the non-union shows. And I will say that there are a lot more non-union shows than there used to be 20 years ago. And the reason that there are a lot of non-union shows is, of course, for budgetary reasons. And non-union shows can take a little bit more advantage of the actor, and I don't mean that in a negative way or to put it down at all. But generally speaking, when you use the term bus and truck, it refers to non-equity. It also refers to shorter sit-down periods in those cities. For example, you might not be in Chicago for 4 weeks and Washington for 4 weeks and Los Angeles for 6 weeks. You end up probably going to the secondary kinds of cities and doing shorter periods of time. So you might be 2 weeks in Cleveland or 3 weeks in Detroit at the Fisher Theater, or you might be going to Atlanta for 2.5 weeks. In other words, it becomes shorter sit-down periods of time. Now, the money can be fairly good. Certainly, it's less than if you were an equity contract member, or an equity member with a contract, I meant to say. Now, if that's the case, you have to weigh the value of the experience over whether or not you can afford to be out of town for a period of time. The work is a little bit harder only because of those traveling circumstances that you might find yourself in. A bus and truck touring company can be a lot of fun if you're a young person and you really want to get your teeth into a role and you really want to see all of the United States, then by all means, consider the bus and truck. Now, the other reality is, between bus and truck and national tours, you definitely have varying degrees of performing opportunities that are out there. So I'm not giving you all of the definite tour parameters that you're going to find yourself in. But there are many, many smaller companies of shows. Sometimes the shows will do a longer sit-down period in Las Vegas, for example. Or if you do one of those abbreviated productions in Las Vegas, you might end up doing, let's say, West Side Story. The Las Vegas version might only be 90 minutes. And so they've cut it down considerably. The money is great. Las Vegas is, well, what can I say? Las Vegas is Las Vegas. I'm not a really big fan, having spent a one weekend one time there, and that was more than enough for me. But for you, it might be a really fun opportunity. So I don't want to give the or imply that, you know, these are the only two ideas that you can consider. Obviously, there are variations on the same theme, but they all have the same point that I'm trying to make, which is you really do put a lot of your career on hold, and it's very difficult to maintain when you're out of town. So that's something to consider. The other kind of tour opportunity that I really want to also share with you today, and that is performing on cruise ships. Performing on cruise ships can be really exciting. The prospect can be really a lot of fun. Cruise ship performers can do rather well. Know that there is a pretty strenuous performing schedule that you go. You might do two different shows in a week's period of time, and that gets repeated depending upon how long the cruise is, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of energy spent in doing those cruise ship performances. Also, if you're doing, for example, a Disney kind of cruise ship experience, there are other responsibilities that you have as a performer. You might be a greeter, for example, when the passengers are coming on the ship. Or when there is a safety demonstration, you might have to participate in some outside performing type activities, something to kind of keep in mind. The tours also will submit to agencies, for example, Norwegian, Royal Caribbean. Those folks will put out casting notices for auditions taking place in New York, or London seems to be the other city where there are auditions taking place. But here's the thing, those tours can begin at 9-month commitments. And if you are doing a Disney-styled show for a 9-month period of time, that is also a way that you can put your career seriously on hold. But if you're on a special guest kind of tour where you're going out on a ship for 2 or 3 weeks, you can make some serious money. And if you're on that smaller kind of Disney type cruise, an ensemble performer, you might make $1,000 to $1,200 a week, which is fairly good money. Interestingly enough, though, the agent I talked to, Mikey, said he really doesn't like, nor does he recommend any young performer going on a cruise ship. And the reason that he would recommend an actor do a cruise ship is if you have a lot of student loan expenses and you want to pay that off as quickly as possible, then by all means, that might be a really good way because it is lucrative. Your performing chops obviously get a workout by doing those kinds of jobs. But then on the negative side, do you really want to say goodbye to your career for that period of time? However, my friend Paul Hart seemed to think that and believed that if you are doing, for example, a version of Cats, and it's a restructured version of Cats, many of those performers have gone on to be in the West End production of Cats. So it does have its potential opportunity for the performer to advance their career, according to Paul. On another negative side, when I go to EPA sometimes and I look down at resumes of actors who have done 4 or 5 cruise ships, I'm kind of concerned about their ability to do other kinds of musical theater work, only because when you do that much work on a cruise ship over a long period of time, bear with me now, this is my opinion, you learn a lot of bad habits. You learn a lot of easy ways to get the job done without really challenging yourself as a performer. Again, I'm not trying to put down. I think it's really, really great for some young people. This might be the first perfect job when you come to New York. But do take advantage of asking as many people in the business as you can about whether or not this might be a less than stellar career move. In fact, in some instances, it might not look great for you to continue to do that kind of work. That's just my opinion, but I think it's worth considering as you put all of these ideas together. More than anything, I want performers to have as many opportunities to perform as possible. And doing a national tour or a cruise ship or a long sit down in Las Vegas can certainly have its advantage, financial or otherwise. You really want to balance that out with your goals and aspirations as a performer. And does that really give you some additional skill sets that you might not otherwise have? And I think that's worth taking a moment and analyzing. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please let me know if you have any additional questions, if I can be of any help. And I'll be talking to you next time on Casting Actors Cast.
You've been listening to Casting Actors Cast with host Jeffrey Dreisbach. Find out more at castingactorscast.com and let us know if you would like us to cover topics you're interested in. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew DeSarno.